I've actually been dreading today. and it's probably a good thing that my husband's not here because, well, you know, it's going to be so great that we'll actually be a proper family after doing long-distance marriage for 6 months. I think he'd actually be feeling pretty bad that he's taking me away from all of you. Excuse me. I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this amazing family of people who've taken myself and my children in. God, I am just so grateful for every single person who is here and part of this family, God, and for all the prayers that have that went before us coming here, God. I just pray that you would send your Holy Spirit here this morning and that your truth would be spoken in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I've got three scriptures I want you just to kind of dwell on as I speak today. The first is from Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. The second, Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted, which also means tested, beyond what you can bear. But when you are tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, I've never wanted to live a mediocre life. I've always wanted to follow God's call on my life. And I knew I wanted to be a teacher. So once I was qualified and working, I figured my calling was teaching. I saw my classrooms as my mission field. And as Mick was talking about last week, it was definitely my common calling. To be a teacher, that was my job, it was what I loved to do, but I also felt like, I think it was probably my uncommon calling too, it was teenagers, I love teenagers, I love little people too, and I've loved my job there, but I love teenagers, and so I thought, you know, bearing witness to my students just through myself, obviously if you're in a non-Christian school, you can't pray for them like you'd like to, you pray for them on the inside, but just trying to be a witness, trying to be Jesus for my students, and I loved it, really loved it. I love teaching in South Auckland and was really, really content. Just thought, this is it. This is great. Obviously, I'll get married in South Auckland. This is, you know, South Auckland is my place. I love it. I was also a youth leader at the church I was going to, which was also in the same area as the school that I was teaching at. And so there was a lot of crossover. I'd see my youth at school and then I'd see, you know, my students at church. And it was fun. It was really fun. I really, really enjoyed that. And then in my second year of teaching, I went to visit some friends in Hamilton who I'd known for a long, long time. And they were telling me about a college that they were going to go to in Sydney. And it was a creative arts college attached to Christian City Church, pastored by Phil Pringle, which is now known as C3. And I was a bit curious, so I sat down and read the prospectus. And immediately my heart started pounding in a way that I had never ever felt before, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to go too. And it just completely did not fit into my plan, you know, which was teaching. You know, I'm not really, you know, it was completely out of the blue. And I kind of didn't actually believe, even though it was such an insane feeling, I didn't actually believe that it was truth. So I tested God a couple of times and his answer was the same, you need to go. So I went. And I was there to study singing for just 1 year. And on the first day of college, what they get all the students who are there at the Ministry Training College to do is basically get on their knees before God and pray a prayer. And the prayer basically is that you surrender your life to God. You're not at this ministry training college to have a good time. You are there to develop your gifts and your talents, and you are praying that God's going to use your life and your gifts and your talents and take you and put you out into the world and do something with you. And I found that quite full on because I thought I was just going there to learn a bit about singing. But there was this whole other side to college, which was pretty incredible. And that prayer was not something that I took lightly. I actually was really excited about what God had in store for me. It was taking me off the path I thought I was on, but it was cool. And within a couple of months, I knew that I needed to do more than 1 year. So I did a second year, and it was in my second year that I met a Christian through friends. And he had come from Perth the year before I went to Sydney to study music and had stayed in Sydney. He had a job as a film editor. We met through friends and started dating. And when we got engaged, he said to me, "You need to put down roots in Sydney. You can't forever be pining to go back to New Zealand. This has to be your home. You know, if you're marrying me, then we're doing this together. You can't be forever trying to pull us back to New Zealand. This is where you've got to be." So I thought, well, okay, fair enough. Want to do it together. So I did, and it wasn't easy because my family is incredible, and to know that if we were to have children, we would always be the Sydney cousins and they would be the New Zealand cousins. You know, like you feel a pull from your family, but it was definitely the right thing. So I got a teaching job at Oxford Falls Grammar School, which is the school attached to C3 Church. My job became a mission field there as well. It was very different teaching at a private Christian school compared to teaching in South Auckland, but I loved it. It was amazing. And I honestly thought, well, this is what God wants me to do. Like, teaching is my thing. I love it. But then I became a mum, and all of a sudden, teaching paled into insignificance. And I thought, no, this is it. I'm a mum. This is even better. I really, really like this. And it was interesting because while I loved being a mum, I suddenly wasn't out in the world anymore, if you know what I mean. I was at home with my children and I had mothers' groups and things, but it wasn't the same. But I just thought, well, God will show me something. We'll figure it out. I'll get out there somehow. But then in October 2009, with my boys aged almost 3 and just turned 1, Christian was diagnosed with bowel cancer. He was stage 4, which is as bad as it gets, but we had no idea that it was this bad. So I've got a little clip to fill you in a little bit more on this part of our life. We've had some technical issues, so hopefully this works.
There is something truly exceptional about the spirit of all of you here, the people of Australia. You can absolutely feel their zest for living. Christian Anderson and his family from Sydney are a perfect example of that. Watch this story.
Their remarkable love story began 10 years ago when Christian fell for Rachel in college.
She just had this kind of glow. She would light up the room to me whenever she was in it.
They married, started the life they'd always dreamed of. Two precious boys. First Cody, and then little Jacob. Then, just over a year ago, their world came crashing down. Christian was diagnosed with liver and bowel cancer.
The moment we found out that it was cancer, it felt like a punch in the stomach, a literal punch in the stomach, because he's 34. He was 34. Our youngest child was 13 months old.
Christian's doctor advised him to stop working. Rachel went back to teaching high school to support their family.
I feel like I have very little left for Christian at the end of the day. You know, I get up early in the morning, getting the boys ready, then I'm off to work. Then I come home and it's madness. I've literally got nothing left for him. And there are nights when, you know, Christian's gone to bed and I just sit up and I cry because it's such an overwhelming situation to be in.
Christian is a TV editor. He recently produced a video love letter to his wife to thank her for always standing by him. When he posted it on YouTube, within days, it captured hearts around the world.
Mary, If I ever get the nerve to say hello in this cafe, say you will.
The Andersons have been humbled by the outpouring of support from their community.
A friend from our church rang up and said, put all the bills in an envelope. We're coming to take them from you, and the church is going to pay them for you. I would never have imagined that someone would care enough about us to do that.
For Christian, fighting cancer allows him to see life in a whole new light.
Everything that I thought used to matter, you know, saving money for a house or having a successful business or having a car or whatever, all of a sudden just meant nothing, because those things aren't going to stand around my grave and mourn me if I pass away. More than anything, what matters is my boys.
Yeah.
And my wife.
Having little boys, your boys need their dads. And it scares me to think that he might not beat this. Sorry.
If something ever happened to me, I would want the boys to know that their daddy loved them very much. The reason I do the chemotherapy and put up with everything that it brings is for them. And so that one day, when I beat it, they will know how much I love them by what I went through for them.
Hopeful, so hopeful. We honestly believed that God was going to heal Christian. He had so much prayer, so many people all over the world praying for him, and other confirmations. We had at our church Dr. Yongi Cho's wife come, and she prayed for him as part of a healing service. And she was praying for him, he had tears streaming down his face, but he said he didn't feel like he was crying. And at the end of the service, she said the ones who had the water on their faces would be healed. So we're like, awesome. Another time, Christian went to the Bethel equivalent of church in Sydney, and one of my work colleagues had a healing ministry there, and she prayed for him, and he literally almost coughed the tumor up, and she couldn't understand why he didn't. But we're like, he's so close to being healed, he's so close. You know, when Christian started college, he had to pray the prayer too. You know, he was surrendering his life to God too. But I don't think he had any idea what it would mean for him to do this. And he fought so hard right up until the last 3 months, when he developed pneumonia, and it was at that time they discovered ascites in his stomach, which is a cancerous fluid, and effectively it signals that time is drawing to an end. And the oncologist said he's probably got about 3 to 6 months, and he literally had, I think, 3 months and 8 days or something after that. And from that point, Christian changed his perspective from fighting to finishing well. And during this time, a radio show called The Grill Team from Triple M in Sydney, who we had a very close relationship with, it was one of the DJs on that show that's best mates with Hugh Jackman and got the whole video kind of thing started for us. They came back to interview Christian again, and they then played the interview that they did with Christian on their primetime time slot, I guess, which is between 8 and 9 in the morning, in the morning drive show. The hosts of the show are Gus Warland, who's a sports journalist, and Mark Geyer and Maddie Johns, who are both former rugby league stars. So these are big, burly, tough men. And the target audience is actually tradesmen. We really like this show too, but because they're really funny. But Western Sydney people, just really hard working, you know, they had this target audience of you know, just definitely not sort of the upper class kind of deal, just real tough people. But the airing of this show literally brought building sites to a standstill across Sydney, as Christian professed his love for God and encouragement for the importance of families. And it was amazing. And then about a month ago, the Grill team celebrated their 1,000th show. And as part of the show, they honoured Christian and his memory and re-aired parts of his interview. So we're going to play a section of that. And again, it's amazing how God has worked through Christian, you know, 2.5 years after he's gone. It blows my mind. Thanks.
The Triple M Grill Team.
Turn Gus, MG and Maddie on 6 till 9 weekdays.
G'day, Will Anderson here. Boys, I'd just like to congratulate you on 1,000 shows. I mean, I didn't know that anyone had ever done 1,000 shows at this network, and like almost 100 good ones. Congratulations, guys.
How long did Will and Lemo last for?
42 yeah. shows, I think.
Yeah. Thank you, Will. Thanks for your support. The Grill Team for Mazda this morning.
Boys, when I look back at our first 1,000 shows, I remember a bloke called Christian Anderson, and left us way too early, didn't he? And he left a lasting impression on all of us. And if you lived through the journey through the show with Christian, no doubt you teared up, and you'll probably tear up again now listening back. And if you're listening for the first time, just incredible man taken too early.
The gentleman by the name of Christian, another Northern Beaches boy, and he asked me if I could get hold of Jacko because he wanted something on a video for his wife. Something happened to me a couple of days ago. I was sent a video, and Jacko was in this particular video, and then I put two and two together and realised this was a request from Christian months and months ago. Christian was diagnosed back in October 2009 with cancer. I've set up a laptop here in the studio. I'd like you guys to watch Christian's video that he put together for his wife. When his voice came into it, that's the moment where I shed a tear. My missus and I were bawling for minutes after this. Please watch it, and I'll get your feedback after we play.
And you're beautiful.
He loves you, Rachel. He loves you, Rachel.
Christian and Rachel have just popped in. How are you guys?
Gee, you buggers, making me cry. You like that?
It's surprising how many people are reacting to it. It's something I did sort of privately for Rachel, and she said it was, you know, she really liked it. You should put it up on the web for our friends and family.
Straight away, head started crying because I'm very emotional. But as soon as the kids came on, I just absolutely lost it. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
I'd been overseas to a friend's wedding. I had a really sore side, sort of like a stitch. So I went to the hospital, and they thought I had deep vein thrombosis from the air travel. And so they scanned my lungs, thinking I had a blood clot. And turns out there was no blood clot there, but on the bottom of the scan was my liver, and covered in tumours, basically. I'm on chemotherapy every 3 weeks at Manly Hospital, and they look after me really well down there. I get wiped out for about a week from the chemo. I'm not sick, you know, I've just got cancer. It's the chemo that makes me sick, not the cancer.
And an amazing cameo appearance there from Hugh Jackman. How did that come about?
I listen to Triple M on the way to work in the morning, and I listen to the Grill Team, and I knew Gus Warland was a good friend of Hugh Jackman's, and so I emailed Gus and said, any chance you could twist Hugh's arm and to say these words for me? And 3 days later, I got an email from Hugh's personal assistant with a video attached to it, no questions asked.
Promise me you'll always be happy by my side.
How are you doing these days? Are you hopeful?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I just had a pretty heavy dose of radiation, and doctors are really happy with how it's going so far.
Has this process brought you closer together?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the Andersons, I believe, represent every family dealing with a huge life challenge, and I know that there are a lot of you out there, as Christian is literally in the fight of his life.
If I had have got tests done when I first suspected something, I might have only just had bowel cancer, and they could have just gone straight in and cut it out.
Last time we spoke, I was here, everything was on the up and up, and what happened?
I'm starting to talk to the boys about it now. Sometimes when daddies get really sick, they have to go and be with Jesus up in heaven, you know. And he said, you can't go away. There's only one daddy for every family, and you're our daddy, and you can't go. don't ever leave home angry at your spouse or your partner or your kids, because you might not ever get a chance to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I look at God and I just say sometimes, you know, look up and just go, what the hell is this? And then I just have to trust him that he takes care of the widow.
Just take your time, mate.
And he's a father to the fatherless. So I know he's going to look after my family when I'm gone. And just for the guys, I know it's a big thing for guys to give their kids stuff and lots of presents and stuff at Christmas time, but if you have to go, your kids aren't going to remember the stuff they gave you. They're going to remember you. So give them yourself. Give them your time. More than anything, just spending time together is what matters.
This is definitely sinking in because it's someone we love and we know, and it's made the human side of it even more real, which is a damn shame. There's a place I used to go. It doesn't matter. Look, okay.
We want to give out a number. There's a world I used to know. Everyone who... Get tested. Get tested. 13, 11, 20. Was a light and
it was you. Well, the reality is bowel cancer is a preventable disease. If I had got mine earlier, I could have been saved. I never needed to go through any of this.
Just on behalf of all of us Grill Teamers and I think Triple M listeners, we've loved getting to know you and we're so sad. Likewise. So our thoughts are with you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Gus Warland, that interviewer just then, apparently he said after he'd finished speaking to Christian, he sat in the car outside our house for about 20 minutes just trying to pull himself together before he could leave. It's pretty hard having those last conversations ever. So where was God in all of this for me? To be honest, I found it very, very difficult to pray during this time. I didn't understand why this was happening to my family, why my children, who were so, so young, had to see their daddy so unwell. They had to witness his mood swings from the medication, which often resulted in anger directed at them because they were just loud and boisterous. And when you're really sick, you know that you just can't handle that sort of thing. Watch him go to hospital countless times in an ambulance. I didn't understand the roller coaster, getting so excited that he was doing well and feeling good, and then you get more blood results which indicate actually the markers are up and things are not good, and then to watch him literally waste away in the last 3 months. His death was peaceful, which was an answer to prayer, but why did God have to take him? How did this fit in with what God was doing in my life? I just didn't understand. He promised me in his word that he wouldn't give me more than I could handle, that he would work out the plans for my life. But all of this definitely felt more than I could handle. And what was the big plan for my life when I surrendered my body to God as a living sacrifice on my first day of college? You know, to be widowed with two small children? To live lonely and forsaken. Psalm 68 verse 5 gave Christian great comfort in his last days, and it says that the Lord is the father to the fatherless and he is the defender of widows. Christian knew that we would be okay, but I didn't know. But I had to trust that God was faithful, that God was true to his word. I had to trust him. I had no other option. If it wasn't for the word of God, which I clung to, and my two little boys who still needed me, I would have struggled to get out of bed in the mornings. Financially, I was okay. I had a full-time job. We'd taken out life insurance about 6 months before Christian was diagnosed, but emotionally, I was bereft. My soulmate was gone, the father of my children. I had no family close by. I was an anxious wreck all of the time. Other solo parents will understand that, you know, when you're it, and you've got little children, it's just, it's really scary. I wasn't sleeping. I was running on fumes effectively and feeling like I was failing as a parent and barely functioning in my job. But looking back, it was actually really clear that God was with us every step of the way. Lovely friends organized dinner rosters, offered to babysit, do my washing. And God even had this church picked out for us once we'd moved back. Because of all the prayer for my little family over the years, as soon as we started coming here, it felt like home. There was no starting over, trying to establish ourselves again. Because you're all so amazing. God even put an incredible friend from this church in our suburb of Drury. Love you, Joe. Through this church, God has provided a job for me at the kindy. And the timing couldn't have been more perfect. I am so grateful for all of you. I'm crying, but there's happy stuff. To keep moving forward, I started making plans to move back to New Zealand to be closer to my family. In April 2012, I found a house that I loved while on holiday back in Auckland and put in an offer that was accepted. It was due to settle in the July school holidays and the next time we were due to be back in New Zealand. During this time, I had Christian's blog published into a book called Days Like These. And as part of the book tour, I was featured on Close Up, which was a lot of fun. But just before we were due to leave to come back to New Zealand in the July holidays, I received a letter from a farmer from Invercargill who had seen us on Close Up and wanted to do something nice for us. His name was Richard, and he offered us an all-expenses-paid holiday to Queenstown, where his family had a holiday house. I declined the offer of the holiday, but we started communicating via email. And then when we were next in New Zealand, he flew up from Invercargill to take me out for dinner. We continued to correspond via Skype and email, and he visited me a few times in Sydney. And then once we'd moved back to Auckland in January 2013, he flew the boys and I down to meet his family and see the farm, and the rest is history. In January of this year, we were married, and tomorrow, the boys and I, Richard and his daughter, Italy, start our road trip to Invercargill to start our new lives together on the farm. God has been so faithful to the boys and I. He is true to his word, just like he promised. My children are no longer fatherless, and I'm no longer a widow. His provision of Richard for us is far more than I could ever have comprehended. But now what? What is God's plan for my life for this chapter? I really appreciate what you both prayed this morning for me, because it's right where I'm at. I get anxious about things like not having a job. I don't really know anyone down there. I don't have any friends yet. And it's literally unknown territory, this, you know, farmer's wife business. I'm going to be a stepmother. That's a whole new ball game, I guess. I honestly feel like I'm stepping out of the boat into uncharted waters. But I know that God is in control. And he has to be, right, because he's taking me away from all of you guys. Yeah. As a congregation, I'd really love us all to sing the song Oceans, which I think actually came from that scripture that you read earlier, Monique. The song is particularly poignant for me right now because it talks about trusting God to take us and use us for his purpose. And I want you to challenge all of you to sing the song as a prayer and to ask God how he can take you and use what he has given you so that you can live your life fully and abundantly. And it's hard living out of our comfort zone. But God hasn't called us to be comfortable, you know. There are people out there who need us, who need to bring Jesus to them. Thank you for listening.